I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, beginning verse 33. Romans chapter 11, beginning verse 33. Paul writes, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." As you come to these words of God, let's go to prayer first, shall we? Father, we come to you this morning. Again, after a busy week, Lord, as we just sit down and think about you, and think about your love, and think what you would have us to be. Lord, may the words that I speak this morning, may you be able to use them to help each one of us here grow in our walk with you. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Well, another Christmas has come and gone. For many of us, all that's left is a cleanup. I hope you all had a good Christmas, a good time with family and friends, celebrating and exchanging presents. As Jay kind of asked the kids, did you get any surprises? It feels good to get presents, but doesn't it make you feel better to give presents? To see someone's eyes light up when they open a present, especially one that they weren't expecting? I suspect that most of us would say that as much as we like receiving presents, we'd rather be able to give them to someone else. Isn't that why we spend so much time and energy in searching for just the right one? And what is your response when you get a present? There are a variety of ways of responding. We may say thank you and give the person a hug or maybe even a kiss. In the Carlson household, since the rest of our family and a lot of our friends are far away, we often call the people we get presents from so that we can thank them in person. Also, since we are old people, or old school, we take time to send handwritten thank you notes to anyone who gives us a present. And if a present is from someone that didn't see us open it or won't see us use it, our thanks is usually a little bit more descriptive. Just like we all enjoy giving presents, I think we all enjoy receiving thanks from those to whom we give presents. We like to feel that our efforts and our thoughts in coming up with just the right gift are appreciated. On the Sunday after Christmas, it seemed appropriate to talk about God's gifts to us and saying thank you to God. Today's scriptures, I think, is about saying thank you to God for his gifts. Not just the gift of baby Jesus in a manger, but the gifts that come because of that miraculous birth. In Romans 6:23, it says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We need to take time to thank God for the gift of eternal life. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Begin in verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple." Jesus said in John 14, verse 26, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." We need to thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit who indwells each person who has his eternal life. Then there's Romans 8, verses 35 to 39, that talk about all the different things that can come between us and God. But it finishes by emphasizing that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. These are just some samples of the many gifts that God has given us and for what we need to thank Him. And if someone gives you a very special present, especially a very, very nice one, don't you want to do more than just saying thank you? Don't you want to give something back as a return the favor? In today's scripture, Paul was saying that the gifts God has given Christians are beyond measure. It's because of God's love, God's mercy for you, that Jesus Christ gave His life so that you could have the gift of forgiveness of sins and have the gift of eternal life. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And it doesn't stop there. God watches over you every day. He's given you the Holy Spirit to help you through the easy days and through the difficult ones. And He's given us so many other gifts as well. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." We need to thank God for all of His gifts. When you were saved, you made Jesus your Lord as well as your Savior. You gave Him your life. You gave Him your soul. But in light of what God has given you, when Paul wrote, "Therefore," he was saying that God deserves more. Paul began by urging, really it's a command. Paul was urging Christians to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. That is, in gratitude and in thankfulness for all of His gifts, beginning with eternal life, God deserves your body. See, in order to accomplish God's will on earth, Jesus Christ had to take on Himself a human body. Now we must yield our bodies to Christ so that He may continue to do God's work, but now through each one of us. And if God is going to build you and work through you, if you're going to experience the peace that passes understanding, if you're going to be content with life, as Jay said, with the joy of life, God needs your mouth, your head, your feet, your eyes. God needs all of you. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 12. Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 12. Goes like this. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness." In love and gratitude, we need to give our bodies to Christ. And God doesn't want just a little part of you. He wants us to be committed completely to Him. And in today's scripture, in those first part of chapter 12, Paul described how Christians are to offer their bodies. First, he said, we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. As living sacrifices. A sacrifice is a willing that's given, is an offering that's given willingly. Again, a sacrifice is an offering that's given willingly. Paul was urging Christians to give themselves completely and willingly to God. In Psalm 51, verse 17, David wrote, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." See, as Christians, we really have no claim on this body. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Beginning with verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, begin verse 19. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. Now your body really belongs to God. As I just read, "Therefore, honor your God with your body." Paul added that this sacrifice is a living sacrifice. As we discussed before, the problem with being a living sacrifice, compared to the dead sacrifices of the Old Testament is that living sacrifices tend to crawl off the altar. Because each one of us is a living, breathing being, not a dead sacrifice. We need to continually re-gift, re-give ourselves to God. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul wrote that he died every day. That is, he gave himself to God daily. Like Paul, we need to continually give ourselves to God. When we offer God the living sacrifices of ourselves, he doesn't destroy what we give him, but he will purify it. He'll make it better, not only for his glory, but for our present good and our eternal good. This includes the fruit of the Spirit that Jay mentioned earlier from Galatians chapter 5 that says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And as the writer writes, "Against such things, there is no law." Second, this sacrifice, this living sacrifice, is to be holy and pleasing. Holy and pleasing. Holy means without blemish or defect. Basically, without sin. No other sacrifice can be made to God. Just like in the Old Testament, we are to give God our best, the first fruits. We need to give God our best in terms of talents and abilities, even our time. Bible study and prayer time shouldn't just be when and if we get time, but should happen when we are at our best. God deserves nothing second rate. He gave his best for us. He gave his one and only Son. We must be ready to do the same. These are the things that are pleasing, or as the King James Version says, acceptable to him. Considering the gifts God has given us, to please him should be our highest goal. The fact that we do please him should be our highest reward. Third, the sacrifice is your spiritual act of worship. Again, is your spiritual act of worship. I like using the NIV because it's got more words that we use commonly. But here in verse 1, is one place they could have done better. The word spiritual in the NIV, reasonable in King James, comes from the Greek word logos, from which we get the word logic or logical. In other words, Paul was saying that considering all that God has done for us, it's logical to worship him. It's logical, it's a reasonable action, it's a spiritual action, is to give our bodies to God. When we recognize God for who he is, when we give our bodies to him, it honors and pleases God. We are worshiping him as we serve him. As a temple of the Holy Spirit, we're to be ready to be used for God's purpose, to bring honor and glory to his name, and to tell others of his gift for mankind. Paul went on to say that God deserves more than just your body. He also deserves your mind. It's in your mind, see, that you make choices. Choices whether or not to allow one's body to act in sin, or to allow the new nature to control one in holiness. The world is constantly trying to get us to conform, to be like everybody else. It wants to control us. It's trying to squeeze us, to pressure us into being just like them in our attitudes and our behaviors. Look at what it's trying to do to bakers and florists and photographers and others who don't want to take part in the LGBTQ agenda. The world tries to force each one of us to conform and adapt the world's entertainment and music, the world's fashions, the world's vocabulary, the world's attitudes, priorities, and morals. Even, perhaps the word should be especially, when these things clearly do not conform to the standards of God's word. As Christians, we must not become victims or puppets of the world. When Paul wrote, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed," he was saying, rather than letting the world mold us or squeeze us from the outside, we are to be transformed from the inside. Paul used the Greek word metamorpho, from which we get the word metamorphosis. Paul was saying that Christians are to undergo a metamorphosis. Just like a caterpillar gradually changes into a beautiful butterfly from the inside out, it undergoes metamorphosis. We are to be transformed from the inside out too. This transformation can only happen by the renewing of your mind. This change is brought about by the Holy Spirit. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Paul writes, again, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed, metamorphosed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Paul wrote in Philippians 3, verse 12, not that I've already attained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. This transformation is a continuing process. We're never going to be done, if you please, until we get to heaven. But we must allow the Holy Spirit to change us. This is why Ephesians 3:18 says to be filled with the Spirit. In Psalm 119, David wrote in verse 11, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Using God's word, the Holy Spirit is able to renew our minds, which will then transform our whole being. Then as Colossians 3:2 says, our renewed mind will be set on things above and not earthly things. Just like Jesus was able to answer Satan in the wilderness with the words from God, we will be able to resist falling into temptation as we respond with God's word. In thankfulness and in gratitude, God deserves your body, your mind, and finally, Paul wrote, God deserves your will. You see, the mind controls the body, and your will controls the mind. No matter how hard one tries, willpower is not enough to overcome temptation. In Romans 7, verse 15, the Apostle Paul cried, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. It's only when we surrender our will to God that we'll have the power, God's power, to be victorious Christians. Philippians 4:13 puts it this way, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. We need to surrender our will to God and pray as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke chapter 22. Not my will, but yours be done. This is the only way we can test and approve God's will. This is the only way to know what God wants and then to be able to do it. With the Spirit's help, we'll be able to put aside our plans and in faith accept God's good and pleasing plans, no matter the cost. We know that God's plans are good and pleasing and perfect, but we need to do more than just know. We must act on it and yield to Him. God will not force us into anything. He does not dominate our wills, but allows us to choose His will. We need to thank God for all of His gifts. In gratitude, God deserves your body. First offered as a living sacrifice. Again, a sacrifice is an offering given willingly. We need to offer our bodies holy and pleasing. Holy means without sin. We are to give God our best. We need to offer as a spiritual act of worship. And again, spiritual really means logical. We need to offer our bodies and our minds, transformed from the inside out by the Holy Spirit. And we need to offer God our will. The mind controls the body. The will controls the mind. This morning, as we remember God's gifts to us in Christmas, I'll challenge you to do more than just that. Don't just remember those gifts. Daily, willingly, give God your body, your mind, your will, as well as your soul to be used for His honor, His glory. This is your logical act of worship. If you haven't accepted God's gift of eternal life, today's sermon really hasn't been for you. You have nothing to thank God for. You can choose to accept Jesus' sacrifice for your sins and have eternal life in heaven, or you can choose to refuse God's gift and spend eternity in hell. It was Jesus, not Pastor Steve, not Tabernacle Baptist Church. It was Jesus who said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus Christ is the only way one can have eternal life. God in his wisdom created each one of us with free will. For that reason, you have a choice. We all have a choice whether or not to give God your mind, your body, your soul. But remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. So the question we ask each one of us is this: who is your master? Who controls your body, your mind, your will? Have you really given yourself to God in complete surrender? When you consider what God has given you as a gift, he gave the best and all that he had. Shouldn't you do the same in return? Let me close by rereading Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. But this time I want to read from the New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind you will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let's pray. Father, again, in a quiet sanctuary, this sounds really good. But Lord, when we walk out these doors and our whole world comes clapping down around us, Lord, trying to get our attention, trying to get us to act as they would act, to draw us away from you. Help us, Lord, to listen to your Spirit and to walk and to be what you would have us to be. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.